Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Redemption Hill podcast. We are a community of people learning the way of Jesus to bless our city of Boise, Idaho, and beyond. Redemption Hill is a unique place. We are a collective of micro churches that do life together throughout the week and gather on Sundays to grow, worship, and celebrate what God is doing in our city. You are invited to join us Sundays at 9 a.m. at Discovery Church in Boise, where you can find the community you need in any season of your life. More details can be found at redemptionboise.org. Up next is the teaching segment from this week's Sunday gathering. Afterwards, stay tuned for more information on how to get connected at Redemption Hill.
Good morning. Hey, good morning. If you're out in the snacks, coffee section, you can come on in. We're going to get started. Happy Sunday. My name is...
I'm listening.
Thank you. Thanks for being timely. My name is Matt Michalowski. I'm a member here at Redemption Hill. One of the micro churches that I get to be a part of is working with college students at Boise State and in Southern Idaho and helping them connect with God, connect with community, and wrestling with the question, like, what does it look like for us to be a part of what God is doing in the here and now and live out our faith in a way that blesses other people? And this morning I'm going to be speaking on the fruits of the Spirit and remaining with God. I want to take a quick poll to start things off. So if everyone could just raise your hand, just put your hand up in the air. Show me your hands. Keep your hands up if you like hugs. If you like giving hugs, if you like receiving hugs, okay. Okay, you can put your hands down. Put your hand back up if you do not like hugs. If you're not a hugger, you don't like receiving them, okay. Pay attention, you know, let's not touch these people. I know. It's kind of stuck, yeah. A good hug, yeah, can be reassuring and comforting. It can be so beautiful. But honestly, I actually don't like hugs. I think they're kind of a problem. I think they're a bit of a waste of time and an interruption into my schedule. At family events, we're Italians and they're very affectionate. But I'm like, you know, when I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. I'm totally content with just being like, bye, everybody. That was awesome. Getting in the car and mentally moving on. But my grandma does this thing where she just, as I'm getting ready to leave, she just squeezes me. You know, the squeeze. And just, I love you. I don't ever want to let go, she'll say. And I'm just like, I wish you would let go. I got places to be, grandma. Hugs to me, at times, just feel like a waste of time. And I think that's why this morning's Bible verse is kind of like challenging to me. We're going to be in John 15. That's going to be kind of our core verse. And we'll start off with verse 4. So, I almost wrote on this with the ballpoint pen. Whoops. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains in me on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. This comes from the Gospel of John, written to people trying to make sense of Jesus and how to follow Jesus in uncertain, divided, and kind of dangerous times. And in this section, remain is just, will it stay? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Remain comes up. And in just this verse, it comes up three times. In the New Testament, remain shows up 118 times, and John uses it 68 times, more than half of all its uses. And typically in Scripture, when there's repetition, it usually means pay attention. But I'll be honest, I don't like hugs, and I don't like the word remain. And so I'll share why in a moment, but first I want to look at the part I really like, and that's... producing fruit. Let's see if I can scooch over. A little NFL play-by-play, you know what I'm saying? In Galatians 5:22 verses 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. These are the fruits that John is referring to back in chapter 15. Remain in me and I will remain in you. And the production that'll come out is, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. These are the fruits. Back in college, I remember like reading this list of fruits, and I was just like, man, how do I get those? How do I obtain those? When I looked at my life in college, I was just like kind of a sad sack, and I was just like, oh man, this is the secret sauce. If I had more of these in my life, I would be thriving. Again, I come from a Italian-American family, and I think we all read the Bible with a different lens. We come at it, scripture, reading it one way, and then the other person next to us could read it totally different, the same verse. The scripture, or the lens in which I read scripture, is through pasta. I mean, I knew penne before I knew prayer, and my family, like, they expressed love, they obtained love by just acts of radical hospitality, you know? And so when I read this, in my mind, my brain was just like, oh, you could just throw a 7-course meal for like 85 people and just pour your soul into it. That's gonna give me more love and peace and joy. And I'm just, you know, have you ever just, on a holiday, think of a holiday, and the person that's in charge of the meal, have you ever just seen that cook leave the kitchen after the meal's prepped just full of love and peace and joy? I haven't, right? It's not been my experience. But, like, that's what I believe. I believe if you do more, you will get more. And even in John 15, when the emphasis is clearly on... this is going to get wild. Let's see how. Remain. My Italian-American trickery, my addiction to work in production, it just zooms in on the word produce. And I often just believe a good life is full, busy, and productive. Does anyone else resonate? Does anyone else kind of buy into that? Pasta. Remain in me and I in you, just as the branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. When you hear that, when you see that, what does your focus go to? What are you drawn to? In right before this, in John 13, Jesus throws a dinner party. And I want to just read it. Before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now, when it was time for supper, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given him everything into his hands, that he had come from God, and that he was going back to God. So he got up from the supper, laid aside his outer clothing, took a towel, and tied it around himself. Next, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his feet and to dry them with the towel tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who asked him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Again, as an Italian-American, I have a particular view of like food and parties, and this just, I think, is a problem. It goes against everything I'm familiar with and comfortable with. In my household, when dinner is like cooked, you're just done, you know? So he gets up from the table. Where's that line? He got up from the supper. The cook at my house is usually exhausted, and frustrated. So by the time the mood or the meal is ready, they just kind of plop down in a mood. I don't know if anyone else knows about that. But after years of ministry in this context, Jesus does something different. So after years of ministry, his final meal before his betrayal, he gets up to serve, and not just serve, but wash feet, a servant's job, a radical act. In my house, if you cooked, you didn't have to do the dishes. Here, it's like Jesus, what's the slang term? Jesus has been cooking in his life. He's been doing a lot of ministry, and then he also does the dishes here. When I think of this moment, when I look at this moment, and I look at Jesus' service, I see and I'm reminded of the fruits of the Spirit, love, kindness, and goodness. The second way this story here, this scene, challenges my view of hospitality is there's no big fight or blow up. No one storms out of the room when there's a disagreement. There's this TV show called The Bear, and it's on Hulu, and it's season 2, Seven Fish is the episode's call. And I would have showed a clip, but there's just too much profanity in it for a good old Sunday morning. But in this scene, the mom is just in the kitchen cooking 7 different kinds of fish entrees, and it's just chaos. And by the time the meal happens, tensions just explode. And then someone drives a car through the living room. And I'm just like, that sounds right. That feels right. But at Jesus' table, something different happens. There's a disagreement. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Peter goes on to say, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus doesn't snap back at him and make a personal comment about his mama. Or doesn't shout or throw something, or doesn't like throw or drive a car through the living room. He responds, and he helps Peter in some ways understand the fruits I see here: gentleness and self-control. And I'm just like reading this, and I'm like, how did Jesus do this? How did Jesus get the fruits of the Spirit, and how did he operate out of them? My attention goes to a specific verse in here, one that I initially thought I overlooked because I wanted to get to the good stuff, but I think it plays a part. It says, Jesus knew, let's try this guy. Jesus knew that the Father had given him everything into his hands. It had come from God, and that he was going back to God. It's after this that he gets up. It's after this that he serves. It's after this that I start to see the fruits of the Spirit. Jesus had knowledge from God, and this knowledge impacted his doing. Jesus was grounded in what the Father had given him, where he came from, and where he was going. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. The word remain also is translated abide, and in some translations we see this in our Bibles. And abiding is like a branch connected to a vine. It's just like one. And Jesus abided deeply by being connected with God. They spent time together. It's like a hug, a big disruptive hug from your grandma that won't let go. Jesus abided with God. And if I'm honest, I often treat time with God like I treat time with my grandma. Hugs from my grandma. I love God, but I'm too busy for a hug. I think it's a waste of time. I'd rather do for God than be with God, and I'd rather be busy for God than be still with God. And so when I hear remain, again, it just sounds like, I don't got time for that. But lately, God's been inviting me to think about it differently. I forgot to say. There we go. Sorry, I'm an Android guy. Getting used to it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes. Every branch that produces fruit, so that it will produce more fruit. To prune means to cut away, to remove. And God has been pruning things in my life to help me rethink about fruits and remaining. And one of the ways is I feel practically like he's invited me to take 10 minutes a day just sitting in stillness and silence. Just 10 minutes, me and him, no agenda, and I'm just imagining as if he's right there with me. And it's so, it sounds like not a big deal, but it's so challenging me for just to be sit still with God. And it starts off like opening a can of tuna with like a rusty can opener, where you're just cranking it and cranking it and cranking it, and you're just like, is anything going to happen? This is such a waste of time. But then something gives and something opens, and I walk away from those 10 minutes experiencing peace. And I didn't work to produce the peace. Peace was produced through resting with God. In Genesis 1, when God created people, it shows that he gave them rest first, and then he started off with rest, and then came the responsibilities, then came the job, the work, take care of the earth and the animals and the world. And for Adam and Eve, God desired them to work from a place of rest. And the same is true for us. Jesus desires that our souls would experience rest, and that from this rest, fruits of the Spirit would just emerge and flow out of us. And our lives would be transformed from stressed out people and cooks in the kitchen to the loving host who continues to serve those around them with gentleness, patience, kindness, and joy, because they're at rest, because their souls are settled, because they know how they belong to God, that they know where they're going with God, and they know that God loves them. Ultimately, they are working from a place of rest, and we tend to work to rest. There's that song that Chris Farley danced to, I think, in a SNL sketch, everybody's working for the weekend. If you know it, you know it. But imagine what it would look like if we were people that worked from a place of rest. But rest comes from, quote unquote, wasting time with God. Remain in me and I will remain in you. How might God be inviting you to waste time with him this week? Fruits of the Spirit are for us, but they're not all about us. And as I've been remaining with God, I've just noticed how they have been impacting other people. I asked a freshman in my Bible study, they're kind of cool, and we can be kind of nerdy sometimes in our group, and I'm like, why are you stick around here? Like, what's the deal? And they're like, well, you don't have great snacks. You don't try to incentivize us with pizza and put on a big performance. But they're just like, honestly, it feels peaceful on a Wednesday night. One of my other friends, Adil, he was a Muslim. And he came to my Bible study, and I knew he loved Muhammad. I'm just like, Otto, like, you come every week. You don't just come every week. You invite people to this Bible study in the dorm, and you don't even love Jesus? I'm like, why? And he's like, snacks aren't that great. And he's like, I don't know, it just feels good in the room. Neither of them were analyzing my snacks or my theology. They were experiencing goodness and peace, the fruits of the Spirit. And it's nothing that I did. It was just God through me, changing the atmosphere, the environment in the room. When I don't remain with God, I actually do see fruits. My wife and I are pregnant right now, And I just tend to, I've been tending to feel overwhelmed by I create to-do lists that are crazy and unrealistic expectations. And so I'm like, I have this date to finish this, and if I don't, it's gonna be, you know, nuclear. And it's just not true, but I just feel overwhelmed. And when I'm not abiding with God as I work through the to-do list, the fruits that I produce are irritability, stress, and anxiety. And it's just a fruit basket that no one asks for or wants. And I'm realizing more and more that wasting time with God is the best thing. Only good things come from God. Jesse shouted out the Magician's Nephew a couple weeks ago. I've been going through the Chronicles of Narnia, and I wanna give Prince Caspian a shout out this morning, specifically Lucy, who I think is one of the dopest characters in literature. Lucy is in a moment where she has just contributed to her family being led astray and put in a very dangerous circumstance. And Lucy meets Aslan the lion, who's this personification of Jesus. And Aslan asks her to do something that feels hard to do. And in this moment, Lucy, this little girl, buries her face into Aslan, this lion's mane. And during this embrace, the author states this, there must have been magic in that mane. She could feel lion strength going into her. Out of that hug came courage. I am learning to like hugs. God is not a taskmaster demanding productivity. He's the loving lion offering presence. And like grandma's hug, sometimes inconvenient, sometimes awkward, it's exactly what I need. At Redemption Hill, we think about remain in a couple different ways, but one of the main ways is through our discipleship called 3DM. And I'd like to invite up Annie to share with us a tool that we engage with when it comes to thinking about resting and working and remaining with the Lord. I think I got it. There we go. Got it.
All right. Hello? Oh, okay. All right. I might move. The belly sticks out a little more right now. One more month, guys. Okay. Can you hear me okay? Sorry. This multitasking is going to be fun. Okay, so yeah, I'm going to talk about a shape we use in my huddle that goes really well with what we've been talking about today. And we like to use shapes because they're easy to reproduce and remember and use and share on a napkin with somebody else. Oh, thank you. So this is going to be the semicircle of Jesus' rhythm of life. And again, the scripture linked to this is going to be John 15, 1 through 5. So I'm just going to reread it to just kind of go back into it. But sorry. Oh, thank you. Oh, there you go. That's great. Thank you. Okay, so. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine. Neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. All right, so let's see if I do this right. Okay, so we have, let's go back. Not working? Oh, I'm not an artist, by the way, so. So we have our semicircle, and on this side we have, oh Lord, bear with me, rest and work. And then also on the rest side we have root. And then the ever important, though, there's a pendulum kind of in the middle of the semicircle that is abide or remain. Looks terrible. Great. and, you know, that's kind of the presence of God that's going to swing with our rhythm, if you will. So, and, you know, like I said, this is titled Jesus' Rhythm of Life, so we're always wanting to try and to copy what Jesus did, right? His rhythm of abiding, no matter where we're at on this semicircle. And how we can also view this rhythm is putting this semicircle on a playground and calling it a teeter-totter. Because it moves, right? Rhythm is movement. So, you know, Jesus showed this a lot. He had time of solitude and quiet where he was just listening with the Father, sitting still, hearing, and then moving into action, into the work and the fruit side of things after that quiet time. So looking specifically at rest, rest allows rooting and growth deeper with the Father as we listen and the development of our character to be more like Jesus. And we can find there can be revelation in that rest time as well. And, you know, rest gives room, right, to listen, to hear. And just stillness produces good things more than we want to believe, like Matt was saying, we want to be always doing, especially in our culture. but it would be nice to stay in rest, right? To just hear and grow. But God's never going to really keep you there for very long. And so what we get... get growth as we teeter-totter the other way. so in that growth, God's pretty likely going to ask you to maybe do something and put a calling on your heart, spread your wings a little bit, if you will. But the big thing that my huddle says a lot is we only do what the Father is asking us to do or telling us to do. Not what we think we should do. We're just really focusing on abiding to develop that growth and do what he says. So we get the opportunity to teeter-totter on over to the work of the Lord and bearing fruit and sharing good fruit in the fruit basket you want. And... I know a lot of people can kind of, as we get into work and fruit, we kind of forget the abide part because you're in action. So that's its own challenge, but it's something that this swings with us, right, back and forth, whether we're in a resting season or a work season. And then whenever, you know, God is kind of leading you, us, back to rest or being rooted, then there's... Everybody's probably, wow. Is the pruning. I never really like to hear the word pruning when it comes to spiritual things. Because it kind of elicits for me like pain or discomfort. or something that's going to be difficult to do regardless. But it is always good to remember, if any, I know some are gardeners out here that like pruning shifts energy right to the root and to the plant to get, you know, grow deeper and stronger. And then also it's encouraging to remember that pruning naturally results in more fruit in real life, in real plants, and in us. So in our kind of pruning stage or times, you know, God can show us things that maybe we need to put to death or remove. And again, it's usually kind of a little hard or uncomfortable, but it's good. And I know, like, for me, I can think of pruning as like, oh, I need to remove some sort of sin in my life or something like that. But it can be just removing something that's distracting. Like Matt and I recently, we've like, we're not watching TV on the weekday nights, so we put our energy elsewhere. We're adding like a discipline. I know there's a lot of people that are bad at saying no. Like things like that can give space for God to come into our daily lives. Let's see. All right, so also, you know, when we teeter-totter back to rest and root after like a work season, it also gives us time to allow God to help us reflect on our time of work and fruit, being fruitful, and, you know, see what changes or, you know, even just what he did, like an Ebenezer, if you will, something to remember. But again, we're always going to go back to this abiding wherever we're at. And it's a hard thing to do. I am not good at it. But it's something I'm trying to improve. So as I was reflecting this week on where I fall in this rhythm, it's kind of interesting because, like, out of college, there was a chunk of time where, it was longer than I wish to admit, but I was basically had jumped off the teeter-totter and was just, like, kind of apathetic. I still believe in God, but I just want to be left alone. And eventually, I started praying for God to soften my heart and just kind of open me up a little bit. And, y'all, I'm a very slow mover. Ask him. And I'm stubborn, but God was really patient and didn't rush me and started slowly answering that prayer. And then, give or take some time, Malia comes and asks if I'd like to join a huddle. And I was like, my comfortable self really wants to say no. But I did know, and I felt God asking me to say yes. And so I said yes. And so I just, even through that process, I feel God is slowly growing me. I'm on this curve, kind of coming out of some rest and rooting. And I'm starting to get the beginnings of God, like, asking me to do something or calling me to something in the near future. So I'm trying to listen. I'm slowly getting that practice better, like I said. But, yeah, it's been kind of, being able to reflect on that is kind of cool. It's like, oh yeah, I've seen these little movements happen for me. So yeah, I'm feeling that teeter-totter in motion towards the work and the fruit, which is exciting. And then, yeah, we'll see what happens there. So like now the question, you know, is for you guys too, you know, where might you be at in this rhythm of life that Jesus showed us? So I just encourage this week or something to, it's a very simple drawing, even as bad as I am at drawing. Hopefully you can glean this. And just kind of think about, you know, where are you out in the shape today? Ask God to show you and where he might be heading you in what direction or leading you, and taking some time to abide and maybe copy Matt's 10 minutes a day or 5 minutes a day even of just seeing what he tells you. So that's our thing today.
Yeah, I'll lead us in communion too. Thanks, Annie. Sometimes when I like leave church, there's this thing that happens where everything that I was like, oh, I got to remember that or hold on to that, it just evaporates in the parking lot. And I just completely lock in on, I got to like mow the lawn today. And just like the to-do list or whatever. And so one of the like beautiful things about Sunday morning here is that we do communion every Sunday. It's my son's favorite thing that we do. And I mean, for him, he just looks forward to the crackers and juice. In fact, in the last two Sundays, he's escaped from Sunday school, and people have spotted him grabbing seven things of juice and handfuls of crackers. And for me, there is a sense of annoyance of like, oh, dang it, man, like, he's being disruptive. But he's learning to love communion. And I don't care how he gets there, you know? Communion is a space to remember that Jesus died on the cross for us, gave his life, and then through his resurrection invited us to experience life and to abide with him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there would be a new normal of work and rest that we can encounter and experience here. And juice and crackers, his blood and his body, is a way for us to remember that. And it's a way for us to be still with God. Some of us, just whatever it may be, 10 minutes may be too much. You're just like, I can't. I got people waking up at like 4. I got to go to work. There's just got to prepare dinner. There's all these things. And so Sunday mornings might be your 1 minute of just stillness with the Lord. And I just want to invite us to approach the communion table with this, Lord, what do you want me to hold on to? What do you want me to walk away with? What are you inviting me as far as abiding? I trust that the fruits of the Spirit will flow out of you. For some of the room that are Christian, it might mean like being still. For maybe those that aren't Christian in the room, it might mean being still and talking to God. Wherever you're at, I invite you up during this song to enjoy and abide in the juice and the crackers this morning. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we just need you. We get distracted. We latch on to things that we think are good and fruitful and life-giving but aren't. And there's no good thing apart from you. You are the thing, you're the most important thing we can give our time to. And so just help us, preserve in us. As we are still with you, would you be still with us? And as we leave and go to the parking lot and go home, would you also prepare for us moments of remaining with you? Help us, teach us to remain with you. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. Make sure to subscribe to get the weekly episodes in your podcast feed. You can find out more on how to get connected with Redemption Hill at redemptionboise.org/connection, where you can fill out the Connect card and start your journey today. For regular encouragement throughout the week, follow us on Instagram at Redemption Boise. We are so glad you're here and are excited to accompany you in your story with God. We hope to see you soon.